Hello, this is Mike Myers, and I'm going to release an episode because Jim Dietz passed away this past Monday, and I wanted people to hear his voice. He was one of the first original brunch buddies on the Geek Brunch podcast, and we lost a great, great person, and I wanted you to hear his voice as a very, very early episode of Geek Brunch, and this is to honor him and his friends and family. But he had a great heart and a great soul, and he was very well loved within the geek community. So here it is.
Hi, this is Jim Dietz of the Gypsy Cafe, Yoda Jones on the comic forums, and you're listening to Geek Brunch number 37.
Guess what? I got a fever, and the only prescription is more cowbell.
Well, we wanted to get you on this show specifically for your background, because we are a brunch podcast.
Right.
But
right.
We'll stick to our format and then get to the brunch later on. But what got you into comics?
When I was a little kid, I loved the Super Friends cartoon, and by extension from that, I ended up getting into comics.
Cool. Are you still into comics?
I'm pretty much a wait for the trade guy now, but I still read them. Yeah, in fact, I just got the Black Dossier a couple of weeks ago, the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Cool.
And I really like that. And I got Agents of Atlas, and that was really great. But I still read comics, but I usually wait for the trade.
That seems to be the norm nowadays. At least a lot of people do.
Yeah.
I really don't have an LCS close to me.
Well, you should get them online. I don't want to pimp DCBS, but when you can get a hardcover for 50% off.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, when I get trades, I usually do that. So.
Yeah.
It's definitely more cost-effective.
So what have you recently read lately?
Well, like I said, I read the Black Dossier, the Agents of Atlas hardcover, which is really great. And I finally sat down and read all of 52 from beginning to end.
In trade?
In trades, right. Because I wanted to read it all as one story.
What did you think of that?
Oh, I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. I love the B-list characters from DC, you know. And I really enjoyed it a lot. The storylines were really good.
What was your favorite storyline there?
Definitely the New Question.
Oh, yeah, that's mine too.
Yeah, Montoya and Batwoman, that whole line, the storyline was great. I really like that. I love the Elongated Man too. I mean, being a little kid in the 70s, I remember him from the Satellite Justice League, and it was great to see him.
Yeah.
Main role, you know.
And what was the premise of Agents of Atlas?
Oh, it was a bunch of Marvel characters from the 50s. And this Jeff Parker, this new writer, kind of repurposed them and brought them back. It was like a Marvel Boy and a Human Robot, and all these like really cheesy characters from the 50s, Gorilla Man, and he brought them back and made them pretty, actually really cool. It's really a good miniseries. I think it's 6 issues, but the hardcover not only has the miniseries in it, but it also has reprints of some of the comics that the characters originally appeared in the 50s.
Yeah, I just reread one of those reprints of Marvel Boy. He's the Uranus character, right? Or Uranus?
Yeah, he's
Uranus.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's an Agent of Atlas.
Yeah. That was quite interesting. So can you tell us a little bit about your restaurant and how you got it to be geek themed?
Oh, Well, the brunches are geek themed. My restaurant is Gypsy Cafe. We do Mediterranean, Eastern European influenced food. We're open every day by Monday. And on Sundays, I do geek brunches. And basically, I write my own menu Sunday morning, depending on what I have around. It's almost like my own personal Iron Chef. I walk into the restaurant after Saturday night, see what's left, put together a brunch menu, and then I put a geek theme to it. This week was the, I'm sorry, this week was the birthday of Superman, so I did a 70th anniversary Superman brunch.
Awesome. Do you have a lot of comic book and geek movie themed people come to your restaurant on Sundays?
Yeah, we have people who enjoy it. There are two universities right across the river from us, Duquesne and University of Pittsburgh, and the students seem to like it, and we get a lot of geeks who come in and they seem to enjoy it. Plus, we post it on our the geek brunches on our blog on MySpace, so we get a lot of feedback there from them too.
Do you do any kind of decoration or no?
No, not really. I do things depending on what's going on though. Like I said, like this week was the 70th birthday of Superman, so I did that. Next week's going to be the 40th anniversary of Mr. Rogers. So I'm probably going to do Mr. Rogers themed brunch. Usually it depends on what's going on lately, you know, what's been going on, you know, that week.
Yeah, everybody that walks into your restaurant will have to take their shoes off. Or switch to sneakers.
put on a sweater.
Yeah, put on a sweater. So
all my geek brunches are on our MySpace site. It's on myspace.com/gypsycafe under our blog. If any of your listeners want to check out what I do.
Cool.
I think the geek brunches in the past few months are there.
So do you watch, like, Chef Ramsay and Iron Chef and...
Oh, yeah, I like Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares because it makes me feel better about where my restaurant is. By comparison, you know, I watch these people, I'm like, wow, I thought we had problems, but no.
Yeah,
my
wife watches those religiously, and that's one show that I will watch when she's watching it is the Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares because I like how he... goes in there, and these places are usually a disaster. And the owner is either not doesn't know what his employees are doing, or you know, everything is just chaotic.
Right.
Or they just don't. It's amazing how bad shape some of them are. You know, they're only like they don't have any customers in the door.
Right, and then here comes this world-renowned chef that gives all this advice about what to do and turn things around, and like half the time the people are like, no, I don't want to change it.
Yeah, they get real stubborn.
They think they'd be grateful, you know. If he came to my restaurant and he wanted to show me how to boil water, I would be like, okay, you know, I would watch his technique for boiling water, because, you know, whenever you're around another chef, you try to learn something. I mean, that's how I learned how to cook, was by practicing with other chefs.
Do you watch the BBC version?
I watch both. I prefer the BBC version just because the Fox version is almost too much like the Extreme Makeover show, because they end up usually remodeling the place for them and everything.
Well, they don't
BBC
do that.
BBC version is just basically he just usually changes the menu and changes the attitude of the staff, which I think is usually more important. You know.
Is that one in repeats, or does he do both during the year?
I think he does both, because they just started a new season of the BBC one a couple weeks ago.
Huh. So are you the lead chef there?
Yeah, I'm the head chef, and my wife Melanie runs the front of the house.
Okay.
The restaurant.
How long have you been there?
We're in our fourth year now.
Okay.
Yeah, our fourth year.
Is business fairly good?
Yeah, we've been doing okay. It's become slow this week because the weather has been really bad. Right now we're trying to land Kevin Smith for a brunch. He's filming a movie here in Pittsburgh, and a good friend of mine is a grip on the crew, so we told him if he came down to eat, we'd do a special Kevin Smith brunch for him.
That's awesome. What's he filming? Do you know?
Some movie with Seth Rogen. I can't remember the title of it.
Somebody makes a porno.
That's right. That was That's right.
What is it that called? Is, Heath? Can you say it again?
I don't remember the names of the people, but it's somebody and somebody make a porno.
Mm.
That's right. That's the right title. Yeah.
And he's writes and directs it.
Pittsburgh filming. Yeah. I guess he's from what my friend said, he was working on the crew. He's shooting it and editing it at the same time, so he doesn't have a lot of free time. But we sent some of our brunch menus with our other themes, along with our friend Nick. And Nick's listening. Hey, Nick. And he's trying to win. That's why our next our big geek thing that we're trying to do for the brunch lately. So.
Can you tell?
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Can you tell me a little bit about Mediterranean food? Because I've never been to a Mediterranean restaurant.
Okay, it's our food is basically our credo as we go where the gypsies go. We have influences that are Italian, Greek, Moroccan, Indian. Also, we have a lot of Eastern European influences. We have a Hungarian and Serbian and Polish food also. But Mediterranean just refers to that part of the world, you know, Italian and Turkish and Greek.
Okay, so it covers a lot of different types.
Right. It gives us a lot to work with. We have a seasonal menu. That way we can use whatever's freshest and best at the right time of the year. If you're interested in what we do, our menus are available online, too. It's at www.gypsycafe.net.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the middle of our winter menu right now. We're going to be switching over to spring menu in March.
So. Do you use any kind of chilies or peppers?
Right now, actually, we're doing we have a chorizo chicken in our menu. It's done. It's a chicken breast. Huh?
That's awesome because we talk about chorizo a lot.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Well, ours is chorizo and chickpeas stuffed in the chicken breast, and then that's finished off with a chipotle lime sour cream.
Mm. That sounds good.
Well, a little shout out to all the geeks here. We're hosting a little party for the CGS guys during Pittsburgh Comic Con.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
We're going to be putting out a little food and spread. I know you guys are a little too far away to come to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But we're going to be having a little reception on Friday night starting around 10 o'clock. Everybody wants to come out. There'll be some food and some sangria and some geeks. So.
You should get some pictures of that if you could. Post them on the CGS forum.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I will definitely do that. I think most of the guys are coming in for the Pittsburgh Comic Con, so.
Mm-hmm. Any other comic books or books in general that you want to plug or that you're reading?
That's pretty much what I'm reading right now. I play Xbox 360, so that's part of my geeking, too, and I'm playing a lot lately. I have a lot of different disciplines I roll with. I collect comics, I collect toys, cartoons. I'm very much into Mystery Science Theater and video games. So I guess I'm a cool opportunity geek.
I have a question. How does it go over with your wife, the whole geek-themed brunches and the collections in your private life? How does that fly?
She's non-geek, but she's very tolerant.
Cool.
I have my own little room for all my toys and my graphic novels and my video games and everything, and that's like my little sanctum sanctorum, and keep it all, you know, contained. That's fine, but she's very very tolerant of me, and she loves the geek brunches because every once in a while I'll do a category that she really likes, like 80s new wave music or something.
Oh, that's cool.
Well, I love 80s new wave.
Yeah, we just did that a couple of weeks ago. We got Waffle of Voodoo and Clash Ash.
Ah, awesome.
Yeah.
So do you play music during your brunch?
Yeah, so when we do like a music-themed brunch, we usually have an MP3 player with that kind of music going in the background.
Oh, cool.
That just sounds like a really clever, innovative idea.
Well, it's Sunday, and we wanted to do a brunch. We wanted to set ourselves apart. And it's a menu that changes every week, so I have all these interests. So So it's a good way for me to get my geek on and be a chef.
Cool.
It's rare that those two things intersect, you know.
I can't cook, but I've always wanted to open up a geek-themed restaurant just with kind of like the Guy Gardner restaurant East Own, where everybody would dress up as characters.
Right, like Planet Krypton.
Yeah.
In that DC miniseries, The Kingdom.
Yeah, I've always wanted to open up something like that and then have like one place, one little area where you could sell geek stuff and actually show like Super Friends on TVs and stuff like that. And
yeah, there was a thread on the forums about a week ago, I think, about what your nerd dream would be, and that's pretty much what I wrote. Mm-hmm. That be like that restaurant where the big three meet at the end of Kingdom Come.
Mm-hmm.
When Batman figures out that Wonder Woman's pregnant.
Have you ever looked into how that could work? I mean, you'd have to obviously pay DC and Marvel, especially if, depending on which way you went.
You probably have to either bring them in on the corporate end or just pay outrageous licensing fees, I would imagine.
Yeah, I bet that would kill a lot of stuff unless your restaurant was extremely busy.
Well, I mean, you could probably put it somewhere like Universal Studios or something. It'd probably fly.
Yeah. Well, I went to Disney World a long, long time ago, and they used to have restaurants that were themed, and one was like a drive-in where you'd actually sit in the cars, and they'd play really bad B-films while you were in the car. It was so awesome. And they had another geek-themed for 50s, like, television shows, like Leave It to Beaver and all that kind of stuff. Dobie Gillis. And they'd have these old TVs with rabbit ears, and they'd have new technology in the back, but they made the TV in the front look like an old TV set.
Right. That sounds neat.
Yeah.
My sister went to Vegas, and she said they had Quark's Bar there instead of, like, the bar from Star Trek,
mm-hmm.
Deep Space Nine.
I did go to that because they have they have the Star Trek ride experience there with all the Star Trek paraphernalia up front, mm-hmm. and we actually ate at that Quark's bar. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that's what she had said too.
Yeah, it was awesome. I always wonder how much licensing costs would cost for something like that, because it would be so much fun to do something like that.
Plus, I mean, the initial outlay alone just to make it look, like that place, mm-hmm. To make it look authentic.
Does your wife play video games?
No, not really. She plays, like, Solitaire and Mahjong and mm-hmm. Bejeweled, that kind of thing.
Yeah. My wife will play like Outlaw Golf, games like that, yeah. But I just broke my Guitar Hero cherry this weekend.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, congratulations.
I had so much fun.
Yeah, it's a great game.
Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
My sister doesn't play video games at all, but she loves that game. She bought a PS2 just to play that.
Well, it took a lot of time for me just to get through a song. I mean, I started with Foghat and then went to Pat Benatar and tried a bunch of things. But then once I got the hang of it, I started to at least get through the songs.
Yeah.
Right.
It's addictive.
Because
it's different.
Yeah, I was like strumming the guitar and pressing the button. I didn't know you could hold the button down.
Yeah.
So I was having a lot of hard time initially.
It's a different kind of gameplay than any other game I've ever played.
You haven't played that one?
No, I haven't. I have Guitar Hero.
It is so much fun.
Yeah, it's very addictive. Plus, I can play up to normal, but I can't play hard or expert at all. I've tried. I don't have the coordination, I guess.
Yeah, my brother was going on Xbox Live and playing people, and that looked really hard at the level he was playing it.
Yeah, my sister plays on Expert, and I just watch, and I'm just like, jeez Louise, how are you doing that? I could never do that.
So what kind of games do you play on your Xbox, like Halo and
play Halo Online. Right now I'm playing Lost Odyssey, which is the new game by the guy who invented Final Fantasy. And that's really great. Orange Box. I play Team Fortress 2. I play Uno over Xbox Live. That's pretty fun.
I didn't know. Is that one of those downloadable games or what?
Yeah, it's the card game Uno. It's downloadable over Xbox Live.
Yeah, I just never seen the cartridge for it or the disc.
Yeah, it's downloadable. It's like $5, but it's extremely addictive.
Mm.
And frustrating, especially if you lose and you get really mad. And you have to come back and win, and that's how they hook you, I think.
Yeah, my wife and I used to get together with a lot of friends and play this game called Killer Uno, which was
Killer Uno.
Yeah, it was had some like really harsh rules to it where you could dump all your cards on everybody, and it was pretty crazy. But I hadn't played it in a long time.
Yeah, it's good for. I mean, sometimes you don't have time to play a whole match of Halo or whatever. You just want to play like a quick 5-minute game. That's where I go for that.
Mm-hmm. Do you play a lot of just online, or do you play sometimes just single user?
Oh, I play both. One of my favorite games on 360 was Oblivion, and that's only single player. So, I play both. Definitely, I'm not like a web pioneer's noob, but I'm no great online ace either.
You said my Elder Scrolls Oblivion.
I'm sorry?
Were you referring to Elder Scrolls Oblivion?
That's right. Yeah,
oh,
Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that game.
Those games will rule your life.
I put like 150 hours in on that game. I still haven't finished it.
Yeah. Do you have that game, Heath?
I have Elder Scrolls 3. Morrowind. I don't have a next generation.
That one too.
Yeah, it's like you turn it on and you just forget about your real life and just spend all your time in this fake life. It takes all of your time. It's all you think about. You're dreaming about it. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty bad when it first came out. But I've tapered off.
Sounds like that Tales from the Crypt story I was reading, where the guy couldn't tell his real life from the video game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be like that after a while.
So, Heath, did you read anything this week, or you been playing too much RPG?
I read a couple of things. Yeah, I finished my Demon in a Bottle trade, Iron Man Demon in a Bottle. That was really, really good. But you know what? I felt like it kind of the ending. I felt kind of it was a little quick. Like you have 7 issues building up where he's. Basically, you're seeing the signs that he's an alcoholic. And then the last issue, he comes to terms with it, and he goes through, recovery or admitting it or whatever. It's like a page. It's like a montage page. And he admits that he has a problem. He goes to get help. It shows, like, a montage of him going to, like, sessions and all this stuff. And, mm-hmm. and I was like, well, that's a little quick, but... It was the 80s. Actually, it was 1979, so it's okay.
Yeah, but books after that, I think, showed his struggling with it. You know what I mean? Like, somebody would be drinking something in front of him, and he'd be like, you know, I wish I could have a drink.
I think it's still going on to this day.
Yeah, it is.
But, I mean, it was...
I wonder if they're going to touch on that in the movie at all.
I don't know. He had a cocktail in his hand.
Yeah, I heard... what's the guy's name? Jon Favreau, the director, say that he wanted... He'll consider doing a Demon in the Bottle movie because he wants to do more than just this one Iron Man. He wants to do a lot of Iron Man movies. And he said that one of these days he may get around to doing the Demon in a Bottle story. So they might not do the whole thing. They may just show, you know, that
him drinking.
Tony Stark likes the liquor. Yeah.
Yeah. And the women. He loves the women.
Yep. Yes, it does. But it was good. I really, really enjoyed it. It was refreshing Iron Man. Like, even though he was dealing with some heavy stuff, it was fun because he was fighting supervillains. And, oh, man, there was one issue. You want to talk about crappy villains? Just, like, where do they get these guys? there was some stuff in there, like, I'm trying to find it so I can tell you guys some of the names of these films. I'm sure Mike knows every single one of them.
I can't remember who was in there. I mean, Living
Vamp.
Laser, is he in there?
Yeah, the Melter. I was like him.
Yeah, he was in there.
The
he was in there.
Wow.
I'm trying to find it on my shelf because, okay, here it is.
The Melter Strikes. I will ruin your ice cream.
Okay, so there's a whole issue with
it.
Let me find it. Alright, they're like on this guy's barge, and on this barge he has, like, it's like a haven for supervillains, and they just come out of the woodwork, and it's like, who are these people? I've never heard of any of them. Let's see. Alright, Discus, who throws discuses or whatever. Okay. The Beetle.
Okay. I know the Beetle.
Leapfrog.
The Beetle ended up being Mach 1 in Thunderbolts, right?
Yeah, and he's in that time he had that green uniform, right?
Mm.
Was it the green armor? With the purple wings or something like that?
Yep.
Yeah, the bucket head.
Yeah, the bucket head.
Yep,
and
that's
then, and then he has those cool fingers.
Yeah, yeah, he does.
That's awesome. Okay. I always liked the Beetle.
What about Leapfrog?
Yeah, Leapfrog, I remember from Daredevil.
Okay. Mankiller?
I don't remember that one.
I only remember her from Thunderbolts number 25 when Busiek brought all those villains on. They have the Masters of Evil with 25 members, and she was in there.
What is her power?
She hates men.
Oh.
That's not a power.
It's a power.
Yeah. All women have that.
It's her power.
All women have that.
All right, here's another one. Weather or Water Wizard.
Now it doesn't ring a bell.
Okay, he like
I missed that one.
He manipulates water. He makes a little jet ski out of water and rides around on it. It's like, okay, here's another guy. The Porcupine.
Yeah, I've heard of the Porcupine.
Remember him from Spider-Man?
Yeah.
That guy's just goofy.
Old John Romita. Yeah.
So, a bunch of guys like that, and I was like, but I mean, as much as I'm kind of making fun of it, it was awesome, because it's cool to see him just, like, fighting bad guys, instead of turning in his buddies.
There was an issue of Punisher War Journal that came up recently that he went into a bar of all kind of, like, B-list villains. Did you read that?
Number.
It's like four or three?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I have
that one. That was freaking hilarious.
It was awesome.
It was
the funeral
awesome.
For Stilt Man.
Yeah, that's right.
They're all gathering to pay their respects.
That's what I love so much about, I'm sorry. That's what I love so much about 52. It had all the low-level characters in it that you know, you hadn't seen in since the 70s or 80s. You're like, oh my God, that's so-and-so.
You know what I like about it is when they do that, it makes them relevant.
Make them, takes them seriously, and they don't just use them as, you know.
Just like he, Meltzer did with Identity Crisis, you know, with Dr. Light. And
the calculator,
Boomerang. The calculator came from nowhere because he used to be a joke.
Yeah.
Now he's like the Oracle of bad guys. So he did a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
I remember back in the day, the calculator's like suit was just like a giant calculator.
Yeah, I think it was purple, and he had the calculator pad on his chest.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So I also read, the only other thing I read is I read the first pocketbook for Strangers in Paradise.
Interesting. I'm interested to hear your take on this because I've never read it.
It was fantastic. It was excellent. It's like, it was 16 issues. It reprinted Volume 1 and Volume 2. Volume 1 was 3 issues and Volume 2 was 13 issues. And it's just, it's hard to describe. It's just like life. It's just a slice of life book.
Slice of life.
It's this girl. It's two girls, and one of them's kind of a troublemaker, and one of them's kind of like always falling for the wrong kind of guy. And it goes everywhere from like romantic issues to there's like an assassin after one of them. It's hard to even describe. I mean, I'm not doing it justice, but it's just, it's like life. And it's sad, and it's funny and it's exciting. It was really, really good.
How many issues were in these?
Well, so the first pocketbook has 16 issues.
Okay.
It's kind of like an essential. It's like a little shrunk down essential.
Okay.
And, they have, like, you can tell that it's kind of uneven. You know, it's not great all the way through, but it's since he's getting started, you can tell when he kind of starts to hit his stride. Mm-hmm. And he starts doing some experimental things, like he'll have a whole page of poetry, or he has, like, a song in there, and it's the sheet music for the song that somebody's written, and he's actually written this song.
Wow.
And he's got, several times there's pages and pages that are just text, like a book, like a novel, just text, just in the middle of the comic.
Hmm.
So he does some really interesting, different things, just trying it out, but it works. And I can definitely see what everybody sees in the book, because it's really good, and I want to pursue it. I want to read the rest of it.
That's like Jamie D's big book there.
Oh, is it?
He loves Strangers in Paradise.
Okay. Well, that's excellent.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about it, and I've never gotten around to reading it myself, though.
Yeah.
Well, me neither.
As you know, doesn't he have a new comic now called Echo?
Yeah, I'm picking that up.
It just came out.
Well, he knows what he's doing, that's for sure.
I thought he was supposed to get some jobs at Marvel, but I haven't seen any him put out anything.
Yeah. I think he's doing Spider-Man with Mary Jane.
Is that even coming out, though?
I don't know.
Because I've been looking through previews, and I don't see it. Because I remember that there was a couple of people in the running to take over that book, but I haven't seen it published for a while.
I don't know. So that's all I read. But that was a lot.
I didn't read that much this week like I usually read.
No?
But everything I've read was an independent.
Okay.
I read no Marvel and DC whatsoever. I read Eve, the Vampire Diva. That was that Britney Spears of Vampires. Issues 2 and 3 from Arcana. I really like this, man. This is a really good book. Her agent always has to make excuses for her, so he always jacks her up like she's on alcohol and she's in rehab and all this kind of crap. It really pisses her off. And there's this council of wizards and warlocks and werewolves and witches, and they're supposed to keep each other in line. In other words, when they start hurting humans, they keep them in line. And there's this this witch conspiracy where they're turning all the werewolves against the council, and she gets caught in this. It's really pretty cool if you like monsters. And it's got like a little bit of a sense of humor to it, because she's like a has-been music star, so they're making a reality-based TV show on her, so people are following her around with cameras. It's just a really interesting book.
Okay.
And then I read Warren Ellis's Gravel, and the art's by Mike Wolfer, and it was really violent but cool. It kind of opens up like, you know how we just watched The Kingdom, Heath?
Yeah.
With these terrorists in the Middle East, and they're going to kill some guy. And this guy's like a British agent that it mixes the occult with kind of like a conspiracy stuff. Okay. And secret agents. It's really pretty cool. I like it. I'm going to give both those books an A.
All right.
Because they were a lot of fun. And then I got around to reading Eric's. He sent me 3 issues of The Army of Darkness, Ashes to Ashes.
Ooh.
That was pretty cool. I liked it.
Pay it forward, Mike. Yeah, send them on the me now.
I got to get the next issue, number 4. But the artwork is really like cartoony, but it looks really awesome in this book.
Who did the art? Do you know?
I'll pull it out real quick. But it looks a lot like that book I read, that Steve Niles' Strange Cases.
Uh-huh.
Nick Bradshaw did it. And Andy Hartnell wrote it. But it really has the feel and humor of, you know, Army of Darkness. It's pretty hilarious on what happens in here. Because they go back in time and they're trying to find the Necronomicon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it takes place like right after Army of Darkness, so this must have been the first series that he sent me that they started working on.
Okay.
And then from Digital Webbing, I read Sword of Dracula, Vampirella. This was pretty cool. This is like a secret agent that goes after vampires. And it was a done-in-one story, which is awesome because they told you the whole story. And if you didn't read Sword of Dracula, I guess it's an independent book that's been going for a while. It gave you like a one-page synopsis of the character and, you know, what's going on with Dracula, which was awesome because they accomplished a lot in 22 pages of comic. And then I read Snaked. I still don't understand this series because it's so political and I don't get the message. I really don't. That's from IDW.
Okay.
And then I read the Angelus pilot season from Top Cow, which I'm really into Witchblade now. And, you know, the Witchblade's like in between the Angelus and the Darkness. So I found this really interesting. Plus it had beautiful artwork by that one artist I like. I can't remember his name. It's like Sajak or something like that.
Yeah. Pat Sajak.
Pat Sajak.
Pat Sajak. Yeah.
What letter do you want to purchase? I read Dynamo 5, which there's, you know, a lot of hype about this book, the trade paperback.
Yeah.
It was really interesting.
You know, I have that trade. I haven't read it yet, though.
You should read it.
I've heard a lot of good things about that.
Yeah.
It's an interesting concept. I mean, it takes, like, what if Superman was an asshole? And he cheated on Lois all the time. And he had a lot of kids. But it's really well written. And the way they make these characters is really cool. And it gives their backstory. Like, they took one of the jocks that's a football player. And they didn't give him, you know, they each get a power from this character. I can't remember his name. Captain Dynamo or something like that. They each get a particular power. His name is Scatterbrain, but he didn't get the strength, which is kind of unique. So he's this big dude, and he's got the telekinesis and mind-reading power. So, you know, you think he'd be the strong guy,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of weird. But the female is called Scrap, and then they have a girl that can fly called Slingshot, and then some guy that can shoot, like, lasers out of his forehead called Visionary. And then a guy that can change into anybody called Myraid. And then the woman that was his wife runs the organization that or runs this group of characters. So it's really fun. You should check it out, Heath.
Okay. I will.
It's kind of got like that Invincible feel to it.
Oh.
But I'll say it's not as good as Invincible.
Okay.
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 And then I read The Ghosting number 4 of 5, which is from Platinum, which is that sorority fraternity type book. It's really good. The last issue kind of lost me, but this one kind of brought me back into what's going on. So I'll give that one a B. I'll give Dynamo 5 a B. And then we got Andrea D, which is like a bad girl comic. If you were to go back in the 90s and get a Bad Girl comic, this would kind of fit into it.
Mm.
It was interesting. She's like a ex-military person that goes into this hell town, you know, that mm-hmm. everything is like chaotic and there's no law when the lights go down. In other words, it seems like there's order in the town when it's the sun's up, but as soon as night goes, all hell breaks. It was kind of like Hub City was in The Question. So she's trying to find out because a bunch of pregnant women are getting kidnapped, and they're stealing their babies for some reason because they're doing experimentation. And then I read Atomic Robo number 3. Have you read that one yet, Heath?
Yeah, I read that one.
This one it didn't capture me as much as the other ones did. Because you know how they usually flash forward and flash back?
Mm-hmm.
This one would just have the moving pyramid kind of thing. I didn't know if I liked it as much as the other two.
Yeah.
Have you read anything from Red 5 Comics, Jim?
No, but I keep hearing good things about pretty much every one they're coming out with. I read a review of Atomic Robo, I think, online a few weeks ago. It's a similar premise to, like, the BPRD, right? Like the Hellboy thing, only it's a robot.
Yeah, a robot with pants.
With pants?
Yeah.
It's but got, it's, like, it's kind of bright and cheery, though.
Yeah.
Not as dark as the normal.
It's
like
not dark at all, no.
It's like a robot out of time. That he almost seems like he's almost human, doesn't he, Heath?
Yeah, to me it's like a robot rocketeer.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Fighting for freedom.
But the artwork is kind of like...
yeah, it's kind of Magnolia-ish. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can see where they're getting that.
Mm-hmm.
And he does go after weird stuff. Like BRD,
yeah,
BRD with...
I've heard good things about it. I just haven't had a chance to read it.
Yeah, it's coming out in trade, so it'll be up your alley pretty soon.
Cool. I'll look forward to it in stock trades.
And then I read Space Doubles, which is like a science fiction Tales from the Crypt, or what were those? They used to produce science fiction books, but I can't remember the title of it. But they're pretty good. In other words, this had two stories, and it's a flip book. One has to do with something lands on Mars, and they have to go figure out what it is, and it turns out to be something really, really, really bad that's heading towards Earth. And they're done in one story, so they're like kind of like a Tales from the Crypt format.
Okay.
And then one, you think you're on another planet because you think – I thought I was on Mars or something, and you found out you're really on Earth. So Earth gets jacked up in the future.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun.
You blew it up.
Damn you all to hell.
But it was really cool. But of all the reads I read, Eve Vampire Diva was by far the funnest and most surprising because I didn't know what the hell to expect. So that was all I read.
Okay.
So we can go into movies and TV if you want, Jim.
Well, I got the Justice League New Frontier DVD this week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I liked it a lot. I thought it was great. As much as I liked the graphic novel of the New Frontier, the movie really tightened up some of the story for me. And I really liked the voice acting. It's really excellent. I thought it was a really good job all around. Plus, it came with this really sweet documentary about the history of the Justice League, where they interview practically everyone who's written and drawn the Justice League for, you know, ever.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome. So you got the two disc then?
No, I got the single disc actually.
Had the documentary on it too?
Yeah, it's on there.
Yeah, yeah. It also has two commentary tracks, one by Bruce Timm and the production team, and then another one by Darwin Cook himself.
And a sneak peek of the Batman anime.
And a sneak peek of the Batman anime, that is correct. Yeah, Gotham Knight, which looks great. It looks like the Animatrix, but with Batman.
Somebody told me the other day that they're trying to, Kevin Conroy is going to do the voice for Batman in that.
That would be so great.
Yeah. The guy from the animated series. Yeah.
That'd be so weird, though, seeing it in anime with his voice.
Don't you naysay, Mike.
Such a good Batman voice. Such a great Batman voice, dude.
He is. For me, he's Batman. When I read Batman on a page, I hear that voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like my one beef with the New Frontier was I thought everybody was really cool. They had Kyle MacLachlan as Superman, which worked out really well. They had Lucy Lawless as Wonder Woman, and David Boreanaz from Angel as Hal Jordan. But they had Jeremy Sisto, who was on 6 Feet Under, as Batman. I think he's on Law & Order now, and it just really didn't cut it for me as Batman. It didn't really have the intimidation in his voice that Batman should have, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Batman should ultimately be the baddest ass guy in the room. And he just didn't, you know, pull that off, I didn't think, very well. But other than that, I mean, it was a really good production. I thought the whole thing was great, top to bottom.
You think he'd have some kind of psychotic voice if he played anybody like he did in 6 Feet Under? because he was I don't know if you watched Six Feet Under, but he was a trip in that show. He wasn't all there, and it was almost like kind of scary at points.
Yeah, he wasn't. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like Kevin Conroy, when he's doing Batman, he's very intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
And the voice is right there, and you're like, okay, I understand, you're Batman. You know, but Jeremy Sisto, he plays that kind of unhinged character in 6 Feet Under, but in this, it didn't really come across to me as much. Oh, and Miguel Ferrer as Martian Manhunter was just great. He nailed it.
Who is that?
Totally nailed it.
Just so I know, because I don't know who that is.
He's on Crossing Jordan, and he's been in about a million movies. He's a character actor. If you saw his face, you'd immediately recognize it. I'm trying to think what else he's done that was high profile. Off the top of my head, and I can't.
Oh! Crossing Jordan, is he kind of like bald?
Yeah, he's a gravelly voice guy.
I know who you're talking about now.
Yeah, he does John Jones on The Martian Manhunter and The New Frontier.
Well, that'd be interesting. He's great.
He really nails it. But the art style is fantastic. It's like a halfway between the Justice League Unlimited art style and like Darwin Cook's art style.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And the story, like I said, I found the story to be a lot tighter in the movie than in the graphic novel. Not that I didn't love the graphic novel, but, you know, if you're going to chop it down, I think they chopped it in the right places.
That's good to hear, because I bought the 2-disc with the little Green Lantern PVC figure.
The weather was really bad that night, or I would have gone to get that version, but I didn't want to die on the icy road for an action figure, you know?
Yeah, I actually went Tuesday when Best Buy opened. I mean, not when they opened, but after work.
So what did you think of the movie?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh.
Yeah, I still have to see it, but I haven't read New Frontier yet, so I'm kind of like, should I read New Frontier first, or should I jump into the
art? I feel like you should read it first.
Okay.
Because what you're going to see in the movie is kind of like a Cliff's Notes version.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not that far, but it is condensed.
There are like little references in the movie, too, that you won't get unless you read the book.
Okay.
It's condensed. The movie's very condensed.
I mean, will I not get them because I know these characters a lot? Will I not get the references because, you know, like I'm familiar with all the Silver Age characters?
Well, there are things in the movie that reference parts of the graphic novel. Like, there's one part where Batman is looking through this, like, microfiche viewer at all these different things that are going on that are tied into the plot. And a lot of the things that he's reading in the microfiche are right out of the graphic novel. There's the losers from the old war comic, and there's a lot of things that they trimmed out. And, you know, I think Heath is right, if you read the graphic novel first, you're going to see a lot more depth in the story.
Okay.
So...
Yeah, it was weird when Crisis on Infinite Earths came out. There was a loser's tie-in.
a one-shot. Well, the new losers, the one that's done by
Andy Diggle.
Andy Diggle and Jock is awesome.
Oh God, one of my favorite Vertigo titles ever.
Yeah. I mean that was great. But these are the original losers.
They're the military World War II guys.
Right.
Yeah. I really like the new losers. I mean, I've never seen an artist like Jock portray something like so action packed. You know what I mean? It felt like I was in a movie.
Yeah, it very much reminded me of like a Tarantino movie or something. You know?
Yeah,
like,
it was just
dramatic and,
it was like a Tarantino Patriots game mix. It had the Tarantino feel, but had like a Patriots game or, you know, one of those type of movies feel to it with all the political stuff that was going on behind the scenes. Anything else that you watched?
Let's see. There was that. Oh, I got this. I don't know if you guys are fans of Mystery Science Theater or not, but a lot of the people that were on that show have a new thing called Cinematic Titanic, and I got their DVD in the mail, and that movie was called The Oozing Skull, and it was hilarious to watch them make fun of it because it was incredibly bad.
What was the movie they made fun of?
It was called The Oozing Skull.
Oozing Skull.
Yeah. and it's just as good as that title would belie.
The one I remember is when they critiqued Manos, The Hands of Fate.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my favorites. Oh, that was a bad movie.
Yeah, that was. I actually saw the original movie, and then I saw Mystery Science Theater after I saw the original.
Oh, you saw the original first? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
I've never seen it without the MST thing. I don't think I want to. That would be too frightening.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, but when I was in high school, I was watching. We'd always go rent bad films. We knew they were bad going in, but I don't know why we did it. Our Ed Wood fascination, I guess.
Yeah.
Any TV you want to plug?
No, that's pretty much all I've watched this week were those two things. That's about it, really.
How about you, Heath?
TV? No. Well, I started something this last week that came out on DVD, I think, the week before. It's the 2002 version of He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. And it's awesome.
Really?
It's, like, all dark and... Yeah, it's awesome. It's, like, it's really updated. The animation is really good. It's, like, it's probably not quite up to Disney snuff, but it's really, really, really good animation. Good 3D stuff. And, I don't know. It's like a comic book come to life. Like in the old one, you never had to, like, it was really silly, and Skeletor would be like, "Ah, you've got me again, He-Man," or something like that. And in this one, he's like actually threatening. Like the bad guys are actually pretty intimidating. So they play it seriously. They don't play it for laughs, and it's awesome. Like it's probably one of my favorite cartoons now. I'm so impressed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Does he still have the bowl cut?
No.
Does he still have the bowl haircut?
No.
Oh, good.
He's got kind of a little long hair, mullet kind of thing going on now.
Did you used to watch the old cartoon, though?
Me?
Yeah.
I wasn't allowed to watch it when I was a kid.
Why? What was it, too violent or sore?
I don't know. Dude, I don't know. I don't know what their logic was at the time. I just wasn't allowed. I remember. I remember why. Because he said... They were the masters of the universe and all that. And my mom was like, you know, there's only one master of the universe. And it's God.
It's God, yeah.
So apparently that was too... Whatever.
Too close to religion.
Yeah, freaking whatever. But so I watched it when I was a little bit older and I was rebelling. I rebelled by watching He-Man.
Yeah.
I watch He-Man.
Yeah.
Other kids are experimenting with alcohol. He's over there, like, with his He-Man tape.
Yeah.
All the other teenagers are sneaking in their porn. Heath is sneaking in He-Man.
Yeah.
His mom catches him in the bathroom saying, "By the power of Grayskull."
Well, I do that anyway.
Oh, wow.
Only when he's in the bathroom.
Right.
Yeah. But, it's good.
Was that two seasons or what?
It was one season, 26 episodes, and they've cut it into two sets. And the first one came out a couple of weeks ago, I guess. 13
episodes.
Is it still
running?
No, this was 2002.
It must have been kind of like a flop then.
Yeah, the toys didn't sell, I guess, so it didn't.
The toys don't sell, the cartoon doesn't.
Exactly. I was talking to some guys last night about it. That's what happened with Justice League Unlimited. Toys stopped selling, so they canceled the show.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah. But it's good. If you like good old sword and sorcery, it's awesome.
Did it have, like, Merman and all those torpedo head and what? I can't remember them.
Yeah, it's got all those guys in it. But like I'm saying, like, they're threatening now. Like, nobody on the show is... The only person that still played for laughs is Orko, the little flying purple guy.
Flying, the magic one?
Yeah, he still plays for laughs, but everybody else is, you know, pretty serious.
Well, who was the guy, Man-at-Arms, and then he had a daughter, and that daughter was, like, He-Man's woman?
Mm-hmm.
What was the woman's name?
I think it's Tila.
Oh, Tila.
I think. But,
I used to watch that cartoon.
Yeah,
but I was introduced to it from comics.
Because okay. I got DC Comics Presents Superman Meets He-Man.
Yes. Yes. I've heard about that.
Yeah, I have that issue.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Well, you know, your life is now complete. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying you have that comic. Now your life is complete.
Yeah.
You should see DC.
First appearance. So happy.
Slab it.
No.
CGC, I don't know why. Grade 9.9.
I would never. I've only bought one slab book, and it was because I got it dirt cheap.
Yeah.
And it was a New Gods number one by Jack Kirby. But I want to crack it open.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
Do you know how on He-Man, like the old show, they never really explained anything? You just kind of come into it and you know that he changes into He-Man and Skeletor is bad and, you know. That's about it. This has like the first three episodes make up a movie, and it's the origin of all these guys. And so when it starts, Skeletor is named Keldor, and he's just a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Prince Adam's dad or whatever, he becomes the king. And you see everybody, it's like a progression of about 15, 16 years. And you see like guys get older and stuff, and I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
This is awesome. It reminded me of watching Conan the Barbarian.
The movies?
Yeah.
Huh. I used to watch Thundar the Barbarian, the cartoon. Now that's a good cartoon.
I talked to Eric last night. He was watching Thundar.
Yeah, it's on really late now. On the weekends, I think, only.
Yeah.
On Cartoon Network?
Yeah. I'm going to have to start TiVoing that because I used to always like to watch Thundar.
I love barbarian stuff. But that's all I watched TV. I watched a couple of movies.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I only watched one TV show.
I watched
Star Wars Empire of Dreams.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen it.
I think that's what came on the DVD, wasn't it?
I don't know. Let me tell you what it's about, and then you can tell me if it's on the DVD.
Okay.
But, it's pretty much chronicles George Lucas's making of the films and all of his struggles from, you know, Star Wars all the way through Return of the Jedi, which is pretty damn cool because it shows how he wrote into his contracts, like, I'm going to maintain the licensing, which the movie theaters at that time didn't think anything of it.
Mm-hmm.
But he made a ton of money because he's like, I'm going to keep all the licensing so when the toys and the shirts and all that kind of crap came out, he owned everything.
Yeah.
And then, you know,
I'm sure over the years he's probably made way more money off that than he ever would have off the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's going to continue to make money off of it. Even if there's no movies coming out, that stuff just sells. You go to Target and there's toys all over the place. I mean, there's t-shirts everywhere. It's just a phenomenon. You know, it's just always will be there. But it was amazing because it showed all his struggles, like how many times that 20th Century Fox almost pulled the plug on it. It was freaking amazing. He had one guy that would kind of shield him, and he was even getting in trouble with 20th Century Fox because they couldn't make their timelines. They just couldn't because what he did is with special effects and stuff hadn't been done before.
Right.
So they were doing a lot of experiments, and he said that the guys that he had in Industrial Light and Magic at the time, they were, you know, experimenting with stuff, and they had like hippie attitude at the time. So they had no concept of like, this thing is due, you know, you got to figure it out. They were so busy, you know, we need it by this date. They were like half their budget spent, and they had like 6 minutes of film or something like that.
Mm.
And it was like, holy crap, it was just so fascinating.
Yeah. I checked the DVD box set. That is the documentary on the DVDs.
Which DVD set? The originals or the ones that came out with the new content?
The newer ones. This is the release from whenever they released them on DVD the first time. It's like 2004
That's cool,
or 5.
Now I have those DVDs and I can watch it again. I TiVo'd it, so I would keep it on the TiVo.
Yeah.
Because it has such interesting things on there.
It's an excellent documentary. I remember being really impressed.
Mm-hmm.
It was exhaustive.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then how he went against the Directors Guild.
That was amazing. One thing I didn't realize is at that time, you could not show – he wanted to open up the movie without showing actors' credits and stuff like that. And he had to pay a fine for that.
Hmm.
Because you have to show actors' credits at the beginning. And he said, I don't want to. I want to show them at the end. He actually had to pay like some outrageous fee because he went against the grain.
And then ultimately he was proved right, because now that's like one of the trademark Star Wars things is that opening crawl.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at any Star Wars movie, any Star Wars video game, always starts with that the credit, the crawl of chapter whatever, and then explaining where you're at.
And the only thing that they said they got right the first time was the musical score. I mean, John Williams only had like, I can't remember exactly how much time he had to do it, but George Lucas sat down in the front and he said he nailed it, you know, like as soon as he went to see it. No changes were pretty much made.
Cool.
Yeah.
We forget that, you know, George Lucas has taken a lot of flack for the prequels and some of his decisions, like Howard the Duck and stuff like that. But at the time, he was a pioneer. He still is a pioneer, but he was he was a risk taker.
Yeah, and that's what made it great. If he didn't take the risk that he did and he went with the studio's choices, we wouldn't have had those Star Wars movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did things that had never been done before.
Yeah, they were so concerned about putting pants on the Wookiee, on Chewbacca.
Yeah.
It's little things that he had to fight for, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good thing that he did fight for them, because they all worked. They were worried that it was turning into a pile of crap until the editors came in and put it all together, because back then when they were talking to something, they were really just talking to a wall, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then another thing that was cool was David Prowse's voice, because he originally was speaking for Darth Vader, and then they said, this ain't working.
Yeah.
They went and got James Earl Jones to do it. It's really interesting. I'd recommend anybody who hasn't seen it, check it out.
I need to watch that again.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while either.
That was the only TV I watched.
Okay.
So what movies did you watch, Heath?
Jim, you said just The New Frontier, right? You didn't watch
anything? Yeah, New Frontier and that The Oozing Skull.
Yeah, okay. I showed Lindy Rambo. I showed her that because I'd seen it by myself or with my buddy. So I showed it to Lindy.
The new one?
Yeah, the new one.
New Rambo.
She did not want to watch it at all. And she liked it.
Wow.
So I want to bet. That's how I got to do it. We had an Oscar contest. Whoever picked the most Oscars right got to force the other one to watch a movie that they never watch. So I won.
By how much?
By 4, I think. 3 or 4.
Wow.
Do you know what her choice would have been for you?
No. No.
Would have been like Steel Magnolias or something?
It would have been something horrible. Yeah, something like that. Beaches or something like that.
American Idol. Some reality TV.
Yeah, just 2 hours of reality TV.
Big Brother.
Oh. But yeah, so I shared it to her, and she liked it. She's trying to get some of her friends to see it now. She's like, it was really good. I know you wouldn't think it's good, but it's really good. So that was cool. And I watched Sweeney Todd, the musical with Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know what to expect, because not a big musical fan. But it was really good. So I like Tim Burton. And it's very Tim Burton-ish. Tim Burton-y, whatever.
You know they break out into song all the time?
Yeah, pretty much the whole movie is a song. They barely stop singing. There's probably 5 or 10 lines of dialogue that aren't sung.
See, I don't know if I could watch that.
You say that, but it does a really good job.
Yeah,
and it's
but
dark.
I'm not a big fan of Grease or any of that stuff.
Well, neither am I. That's what I'm saying. I don't really like musicals, but this was really good. It's like, I don't know. It's pretty grotesque. It's pretty, it's horror. It's falls
in love. Isn't Sweeney Todd a serial killer or something like that?
Yep, he's the demon barber of Fleet Street. So he, the story is he's gone out of, he's been falsely accused of a crime and imprisoned for it in Australia, and he comes back to England after 15 years, and he's looking for his wife, and he's looking for his daughter, and he thinks that they're gone, and so he decides he's just going to get vengeance, and ends up basically just becoming a serial killer. So people come into his barbershop, and they sit down for a shave, and he just slits their throat, one after the other.
Is this based on a true story? Is Sweeney Todd a real character in history, or is it fiction?
Well, I did some research. It's probably fiction, but they say that it might have a basis in reality. It goes back to the 1800s, the story does. I actually think it goes back to the late 1700s. I don't know. I think you should try it. I think you might
I could do it. No, I just... Maybe if you put me in a straight jacket and sit me in front of it, I'll watch it.
It's not a happy musical. It's a dark musical. Like, they're not talking about, like, gonna slit your throat.
Oh, what's that? It's like that the singing cannibal movie from...
Cannibal the Musical.
Yeah, the musical.
There are only three words that would have me sit, that would get me to sit through Sweeney Todd.
What's that?
Helena Bonham Carter.
She's...
I love her.
Yeah, she's pretty good in that. I think she's really attractive.
Oh, me too. I mean, she's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, she looked pretty good in this.
What other movie has she been in?
Oh, all kinds of stuff. She was in Planet of the Apes. She was in Big Fish. She was in...
I've seen all those movies, but I don't remember her, so...
Okay, let me think.
Planet of the Apes with Mark Wahlberg?
Yeah, she was one of the apes. She was the sexy ape.
I don't think she could have been the original Planet of the Apes.
The woman that lived out by herself on the swamp in Big Fish. Yeah. That might help.
Okay. I know who she is now.
I don't know. It was very satisfying for me because I got my horror fix. And, well, I'm not telling you the worst part. The worst part is, like, his barbershop is on top of a meat pie restaurant kind of thing. And he kills the people upstairs, and then he dumps the bodies downstairs, and then she cuts them up and makes pies out of them and serves them to the people.
So she's in on it.
Yeah, she's in on it.
Convenient.
Wow.
Anyway, it gives my recommendation. And I am not a musical fan, so take
yeah,
it
but
for
you,
what you will.
But you have more of an appreciation for artistic movies than I do.
I don't know. I don't know if I'd go that far.
I mean, I like Tim Burton. Mm-hmm. I like almost everything he's done, but I couldn't get into like the Nightmare Before Christmas or some of his other things. But I like most of his stuff, like Edward Scissorhands and Batman and
yeah.
What else has he done?
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, yeah. I like that too.
Sleepy Hollow.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yep, I like that.
That's my favorite by him.
It's not my favorite, but I liked it.
Yeah.
He likes Johnny Depp, obviously.
Yeah. Well, do this. If it ever comes on cable or something, just give it a shot. Just turn it there for 5 minutes.
If they sing the whole movie, that would just kind of drive me nuts.
Yeah. All right.
So you're almost seeing all of your Academy Award movies now.
Yeah, I got like three left. I got Into the Wild left. I've got The Valley of Ela and, well, one other. Oh, Assassination of Jesse James, and I think that's it.
I didn't know that was nominated.
Yeah, Casey Affleck was nominated for it. We all know how I feel about Casey Affleck, too.
Yeah.
But that's all I saw. What about
I saw Ghost Train.
Oh!
It was a typical Japanese horror film and the fact that it's centered around kids again.
Mm. They love those kids, man. Love the creepy kids.
Yeah, and a creepy woman with hair over her face.
Oh, wow.
Again?
Yeah, again.
Innovative.
Yeah. Wow. Do you want me to tell you the premise of it, or are you going to watch it, Heath?
I'm not going to watch it.
It's basically about this woman that gets killed, and she kind of haunts this train. And she always leaves these tickets for the train around, and these kids pick up the train, and then she takes the kids. So they, like, vanish, and then they come back as these spooky things back to their parents and stuff. And she keeps on saying, "I want what's mine." Which is kind of creepy, but she ends up killing a lot of people. But I don't know if she really kills them, because at the end, it's freaking weird. It's like there's a pile of bodies, and they're all people that she's killed.
Mm-hmm.
But the one girl that finds her sister, she's able to, like, bring her back to life and then take her out of the tunnel. So I really didn't understand it. But it was okay. I mean, if you like that horror, it falls into the same type of horror. I did watch in a movie called Infection that was Japanese horror that was different, but this fell into like the creepy kids kind of.
But it was anime, almost, right?
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
I thought it was anime, but it was by ADV, which does anime, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think what Ramona said when she sent us the thing is it was on the anime channel. And
I guess it just gets a pass because it's Japanese and it's horror.
Yeah. It was an anime, so I actually started watching it. And Barb was like, "Why are you watching this without me?" And I said, "I thought it was anime." She kind of started watching it, and she said, "I'm glad I didn't see it from the beginning." But it wasn't that bad. It was okay.
Okay.
And then I saw Pathfinder, which got a lot of bad press, I think.
Did you see the rated version or the unrated version?
I saw whatever came out on Cinemax or whatever station they premiered it.
Probably saw the rated version then.
Yeah.
You know what? That's a good movie. I like that movie.
Mm-hmm. I went in with really low expectations just because I heard it was bad.
Yeah.
And I liked it. I mean, it was we've seen this plot like a gazillion times.
But not with Vikings.
Not with Vikings. So it was pretty cool. I liked it. It had some cool fight scenes. And I liked the way he... without spoiling it, how could I say... I don't know. I don't want to say anymore. Because the best part of the movie is, I think, towards the end.
Yeah.
And then I watched Planet Terror again. I don't know why you don't like that movie, Heath.
Oh, I love that movie.
It's fantastic.
It's so funny. I mean...
Yes, it is. And I just love the way they film it. It's just... crappy film.
I need to watch it again where I can actually see what's going on.
I love how that building is on.
Good.
I don't know. That building is on fire for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
Like they leave the building, they come back, it's still on fire.
Right.
Hanging out, making plans. You know, it's still on fire.
And it's cool. You never know how it caught fire because the film burned up.
Right. It cuts and all of a sudden it's on fire.
Yeah. And I just like the acting that was in it, like the doctor and his wife, the nurse. Mm-hmm. The way the doctor acted, he acted like one of those actors in those bad films. Just as
babysitter twins.
Yes. That was awesome.
Babysitter twins. Love
them. I'm gonna watch it again. So I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
And then the last movie I watched was Can't Buy Me Love with Patrick Dempsey.
He's dreamy.
Yeah, that's one of those 80s movies that you catch every now and then and watch it.
Yeah.
And that's it. I didn't watch any of the movies I bought from Best Buy.
Yeah, what's up with that? You didn't watch New Frontier or Beowulf.
Yeah, I didn't. Or I didn't rewatch 30 Days of Night. Have you seen 30 Days of Night, Jim?
No, I haven't. I read the graphic novel, but I haven't seen the movie yet.
Mm. Did you like the graphic novel?
I thought it was all right. I liked the...
I lost you on that last...
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I liked the graphic novel. I thought it was a cool idea. I liked the art style.
All right. Yeah, I like the graphic novel, but I think I like the movie better.
Oh, yeah? I'll have to check it out.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I like about listening to you guys.
He didn't like it.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
So,
no?
I didn't think it was bad. I just thought it was meh.
Meh?
Meh.
Maybe I'll check on cable or something. That's one of the reasons I like listening to you guys. There's always something I haven't seen or haven't read, and you guys are like, oh, you have to check it out, and, you know. So now I have a few things. I got Pathfinder. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen 30 Days of Night. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, you know the concept of Pathfinder. It's like Vikings attack North America.
Right.
Yeah.
It's Vikings versus Indians.
Indians, yeah.
But
that sounds good.
Don't go in expecting too much, because that's the key. That's why we both enjoyed it, because we didn't really expect much out of it.
Fair enough.
It's not a great movie. That's just kind of fun.
Yes, entertaining.
One thing I didn't care for that in that movie is I didn't like the way it was shot. It was like, it was, the camera was undercranked or something, so everything moved so, like, jerkily, and it was really dark.
I didn't notice it. I did like the darkness, and I liked the way they did the Vikings. I liked the fact that you could only see the helmet.
Yeah, yeah, now that was cool.
You couldn't really see the detail of their faces at all.
You saw like this except big maybe hulking shape.
Hulking shape and then the beards, you know, or whatever they had.
Sometimes some eyes.
Yeah, some eyes, yeah. But I like that part of it.
Yeah.
The part that I wish they would have done, though, is you know how the Vikings had subtitles on the bottom?
Yeah, the Indians are speaking English.
Yeah, they're speaking really clear English. And I wish it was more like, you know, like, I wish it would have went both ways. You know what I mean?
Totally. Dances with Wolves meets Pathfinder.
Yeah. I think that would have worked better. But I think there's probably a reason why they didn't, and it's because then they'd have subtitles from two different languages, and I've never seen that before. Have you? In a movie?
I don't know. I'd have to think about that. Probably not.
I mean, Star Wars, when the aliens are talking to each other...
See, I think maybe it was an executive decision that the studio probably said, you can't have the entire movie be subtitled because this is an action movie. You're going to be abandoning people.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So you take the good guys in the movie and make them speak English. But yeah, that was good.
I'm going to go watch the other Grindhouse movie this week again to see how it stands alone. I wish they would have released the movies together.
Yeah.
With the trailers.
Yeah. It was just, but you know what? I did notice, you know, I'm going to side with Heath on this. I didn't get the full effect when I saw it on the TV like I did in the theater. In the theater, it was different. You know, for me it was, anyway.
I agree with that. It was more of an experience in the theater because you had the whole package, you know.
Yeah.
You had the trailers, you had those, like, old-school bumpers, you know, with, like, you know, this movie is restricted.
Plus, just to see all the crappy film, you know, it just was different seeing it on the big screen.
Yeah.
Than on the TV.
You noticed it a lot more.
Yeah. I felt like I was in a drive-in back in the day. I used to love the drive-in. On the 4th of July, we used to launch bottle rockets at the drive-in. And it was a lot of fun.
Good times.
Everybody would sneak in. I mean, there was like 20 people in a car that only fit 5. Oh, those were the days.
What year was it, Mike?
For me?
You make it sound like it was like 1962. That was the year we lost JFK.
No, for me, it was the early 80s. We still had drive-ins back then.
Yeah. I remember.
It was the late 70s for when my parents used to take me, and then the early 80s when I started going with my buddies and stuff.
Yeah. Because, see, I've been watching Wonder Years. So when you start talking like that, I automatically hear that in my head. It's like, it was the summer of 1965. I would go to the drive-thru and shoot fireworks off on the 4th of July. Things were different then.
Not 20 to a car.
Yeah. And then you'd get that little speaker. I mean, that's just an experience in itself. I mean, hearing sound from the movie from these little speakers that you'd take and put in your car. So the sound quality was really crappy, too.
We learned a little about movies, but we learned a lot about life.
That's right. It was more for the experience than it was from the movie. You wouldn't necessarily go see a really good movie there. I mean, the only movie that I ever saw there that was an Academy Award-winning movie was Unforgiven.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
It's a good movie.
So, we want to talk brunch now? Which we kind of already covered.
Uh-huh.
But is there any recipes you can give us on the podcast, or are they like top secret?
Well, I don't have any in front of me right now, and I'm not in the kitchen or anything. But like I said, if you guys want an idea of what I do, the menus are online on gypsycafe.net.
Uh-huh.
And the Geek Brunch menus are online at myspace.com/gypsycafe and the blog. Like I said, I know last week we did the Superman 70th birthday. I did a Fortress of Saladitude. I did a Crypt Omelet. Trying to remember what else.
What's on the Crypt Omelet?
The Crypt Omelet was roasted garlic, steamed broccoli, and Asiago cheese.
Huh.
The world's finest waffle, bizarro biscuits and gravy, Daily Planet porridge, Supergirl scramble, the Metropolis Diner special, and Brainiac's brown buttered gnocchi.
What is that one?
It's a root vegetable gnocchi that we make ourselves.
Uh-huh.
It's got carrots and sweet potato, and we roll out gnocchi and then finish it off in the sage brown butter sauce.
Huh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's pretty good. People love it.
Are you going to any cons this year?
Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. I always do the Pittsburgh Comic Con every year.
So you're going to take the Sunday off? Is that a Friday, Saturday, Sunday thing?
Yeah, Friday night we're doing the thing for the CGS guys.
Okay.
Again, anyone who's a listener wants to come out, we'll be hosting that party Friday night at 10 o'clock. And then Saturday I'll probably go out to the con, and then Sunday I'll come in and do brunch.
What's the address of your place again?
It's 1330 Bingham Street. We're in the south side of Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
About 5 minutes from downtown.
So if you're in the area, go visit and have some dinner, lunch, or brunch.
Yeah, we're open for lunch. The only day we're closed is Monday. That gives us a day off.
So you work 6 days out of the week?
Oh, easily, yeah. Sometimes seven on Monday. Sometimes we'll do private parties, or we'll have caterings, or some bridal shower or whatever. So
how many cooks do you have that work for you?
Right now, there's me and two other guys.
Okay.
We seat about 50. Our back of the house staff is probably about 6 or 7. We're small, mom and pop operation.
Ah.
Like I said, my wife, Melanie, runs the front of the house. She takes care of all the wait staff and the bar and all that, and I run the back.
Were you a chef at another restaurant before you started your own?
Yeah, I've been working in restaurants for about 20 years now. I originally did to pay my way through college, and then I ended up being better at cooking than writing, so I kept on cooking. I apprenticed, worked out in San Francisco for a while. I apprenticed with some chefs at a pretty famous restaurant out there called Martinelli's. I worked in Alaska on the fishing boats cooking for salmon cannery workers. I've worked here in Pittsburgh at several restaurants. I apprenticed with a Greek chef for about 7 years here at a place called Nico's.
What's it like? Is like a Nico's a big restaurant or a smaller restaurant?
It was a smaller Greek restaurant. Now it's I think it's a karaoke bar now.
Have you ever worked under like constraints like what is that other show that Ramsay puts out?
Oh, Hell's Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen.
I've worked with people at least as bad as that. I've pretty much cooked everything from fine dining to blue plate diner food and everything in between. I've been at it now for like I said, about 25 years almost.
We got to get you on the Food Network.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be great. That'd be a lot less work than what I'm doing now.
Yeah, those shows where they go and visit restaurants all around the country. I think your place would be perfect for that.
Me too. Get them. You have connections. Get out of here.
They're our sponsor. No, I wish.
I was going to say, you're the guy with all the big-time podcast connections. Get them out here.
Yeah, that would be sweet.
Yeah.
Did you eat anything or make anything interesting, Heath?
No, not really.
I didn't either. I just ate like a pig this last week because I broke my diet and... we had a lot of presentations for our customer this week, and they had the place catered and had food in the morning, food in the afternoon, and lunch. So I was eating constantly.
It's pretty cool.
But I had my first Panera bread, I think that's what it's called, which is a chain.
Yeah, Panera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I've never had one of those before. I had like a turkey bacon, and it had some kind of strange cheese I've never eaten. It was like Gouda or...
Gouda?
Gouda. There you go. It looked like a weird cheese for me, and I thought it was going to be strong, but it was really mild.
Gouda's really mild.
Yeah. But it was a good sandwich.
I like the Italian sandwich from there. I think it's called the Italian.
I haven't had that one, but they had it. In other words, they'd bring a bunch of different sandwiches, and you got to pick your own, which one you wanted, which is kind of cool. And then one day they had barbecue, which was a horrible meal to have when you're at a coat and tie.
Yeah.
It's like your worst nightmare. I mean, there's barbecue sauce, and you're just trying to be so careful. And even when you're careful, it seems to get barbecue sauce on yourself.
Well, they give you the next day sloppy joes and nachos.
Yeah, it's like it's like my worst nightmare. But that's pretty much it. What type of music do you like, Jim?
I like all kinds. Lately, I've been really into a band called Hot Chip. I've been listening to them a lot in the restaurant.
I haven't heard of them. What type of music is that?
They're British. They're like weird, funky, dancey rock and roll. I can't really describe them. I guess you have to listen to them. Go to their MySpace page and check it out. You might like it.
Weird Chip.
And then Hot Chip.
Hot Chip.
Yeah, they have some of their songs on their MySpace site. And there's also a new singer. Her name is Sharon Jones.
Uh-huh.
And there's this album called Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. And the CD looks like it came from the 70s, and the music sounds like it came from the 70s, too. It's like really cool. She has a really great voice, and she has this big R&B band backing her up. I guess it would be comparable like Amy Winehouse, but with a better voice.
Huh.
But that's what I've been listening to lately, music-wise.
And you, Heath? You listen to anything lately different?
No. Nothing I can think of off the top of my head.
Well, we decided not to play commercial music on this thing anymore. But if I could, I would have picked Aldo Nova's Fantasy.
Oh, man, I haven't heard that in a long time. Jeez Louise.
Yeah. I went on an iTunes downloading frenzy this weekend, and I downloaded that one, I downloaded Ozzy Osbourne's Crazy Train and Iron Man and Rodney James Dio, Holy Diver, yeah. Rainbow in the Dark.
Love Holy Diver!
Now you've
been down
my language.
Too long in the midnight sea.
We got married on Halloween. Last Halloween, we had a masquerade reception, and our friend Meredith came dressed with a nun's habit and a snorkel, and she was Holy Diver.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you guys remember, but there's a band called Saga.
Saga,
Saga, yeah. They had an album called Worlds Apart. And I had it on cassette, and I downloaded that one.
Tonight They're on the Loose.
That's right. That's Tonight They're on the Loose, and the gambling song. What is that one called?
Wind Them Up.
Yeah, Wind Them Up, you can't stop. I remember the video that distinctively, because he was like gambling and playing craps and all kinds of crap.
Right. Yeah, I remember them. Saga. Wow. Yeah. Something else I haven't heard in a long, long time.
So those are some of the ones I've acquired lately. But Aldo Nova, I love the way that thing starts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever heard that, Heath?
I can't think of it, no.
I'll have to...
The song is so 80s.
Yeah. I'll have to let you hear that.
Okay.
Anything else you want to do? Do you want to... plug anything, Jim?
No, just if I could plug my restaurant one more time, that'd be great. So at www.gypsycafe.net, and that has all of our goings on, our menus and whatnot, and www.myspace.com/gypsycafe, and that has all of our geek brunches to go along with your geek brunch podcast here.
we're all the same.
Right.
There's actually... I thought it was so cool when you told us that you know there was a geek brunch. You know, that was one of the best emails we got. It was so awesome.
Well, I was shocked that there was a podcast called Geek Brunch. I thought I had come up with it. So
you were going to sue me, weren't
you? Alike, I guess. No. Sue you for what? Your Skype headsets? No. I thought I had thought of it, but no. Great minds think alike, I guess.
How long has the Geek Brunch, has the Geek Brunch always been there since your restaurant started? Or?
Yeah, I've been doing it every Sunday for more than four years now.
Yeah. Okay.
And every week is a different category. Sometimes I'll be lazy and do greatest hits from past brunches, but not too often.
Did you ever do a Grindhouse or?
I did. I've done a Tarantino brunch and a Grindhouse brunch.
Awesome. I'm a Tarantino fan, so.
Oh, me too. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to remember what all we had for the Tarantino brunch, but I think I did that when Death Proof came out on the DVD.
Reservoir Dog meal.
Yeah, I think I did like Reservoir Dogs in a blanket or something like that. Oh, I know, I did a Texas Funeral from Kill Bill.
Kill Bill, awesome.
That was like black beans and salsa and eggs wrapped in a burrito.
That sounds good.
Yeah, Texas Funeral.
I love breakfast burritos. I just...
Oh, yeah. They always sell really well, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the Geek Brunch is every Sunday from noon to 3. We don't know the category. Usually we don't get the menu until right at noon. So we don't know what it is ahead of time. A lot of people call ahead of time to ask. So I usually just put it together on Sunday morning, depending on what's around. And if anyone's interested, like I said, you can check out those websites. And if you're a podcast listener, like I said, we're going to be hosting a reception for the CGS guys, and they're in town for Pittsburgh Comic Con. That'll be April 25th at 10 p.m. That's all I have to plug. Thank you.
Check it out. I wish I could go.
Yeah.
And you guys are kind of far away, but I'll definitely put some tics and pictures and put them up on the forum.
Cool.
Awesome. Yeah, it'll be a good time.
Well, man, it was a pleasure.
Yeah, it was awesome. We wanted to get you on, and I'm glad
you're here. Thanks for having me. I had a lot of fun.
Spend some time here.
Yeah, anytime you want to come back on, just let us know.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, guys, and I appreciate it. And thanks a lot for having me on. It's been a lot. It's been really fun. Good time. It's really cool to actually be part of it for a change. I listen to you guys every week, so
awesome.
It's kind of weird to be talking to you on the phone. And thinking this
up. It was awesome to talk to you.
Okay. Well, take care. Have a good night, guys.
All right.
Okay, man. You too.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
So, do you want to just do our closing statements?
Sure. So where can they reach us at?
They can reach us... Well, that was late. Are we still recording?
Hello? Yeah, we're still recording.
Yeah, yeah. I never knew how the... It sounded pretty good.
Mm-hmm, it did.
Yeah. And I don't think I spent a hell of a lot of money. I think it was pretty cheap. Oh, yeah. I only spent like a dollar something for that whole time. That's pretty awesome, huh?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Thought it was a lot more than that.
Well, you can reach us at Mike@comicbooknoise.com or Heath@comicbooknoise.com or geekbrunch@comicbooknoise.com.
Or go to geekbrunchpodcast.com now with recipes.
Yeah, I got some on there. And what else? We have a MySpace page and also a Facebook page. And go listen to all the different feeds on Comic Book Noise. You can get DC Noise, Marvel Noise, Comics Playground. And then he's got another reader feed Derek has where people could actually submit characters that they want to submit a podcast for, and he'll post it for you. And what else do we got going on?
I think James is coming back.
Yeah, I saw that. That's awesome.
Our buddy James from Comic Book Savant.
So look for new episodes of that. Listen to Comic Timing. He's got Sam on there right now. It's an awesome episode. Haven't finished hearing it yet, but what I've heard so far is awesome. How could it not be awesome? It's got Sam.
That's right.
And Ian.
Sam's name literally translates from Latin into awesome.
Awesome, yeah.
Awesome. download Cinerama podcast episode 3. That came out this last week. That's what I was talking about last week that I was on.
Yeah, the Indiana Jones.
It's out. Do it. So, download it.
The other one's really good, too, with Caveman, Breakfast at Tiffany's, and Cloverfield. Yeah.
Those guys are entertaining.
Yes, they have a good format, too. Mm-hmm. They, like, challenge each other to movies.
So and they're movie guys, but they're not, like, stuck-up movie guys. It's okay. Yeah. They're not, like, you know, holier than thou, as some movie guys can be. Like, ew, I don't watch Star Wars movies. I only watch films, you know.
That's right. So you could see Caveman and go to Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah.
It's pretty diverse.
They cover the gamut.
Yeah. Alrighty.
That's all I got.
Bye. Bye.
Yeah.